Welcome to Mad Lit Musings, a podcast with Jamie Jo Wright, where we go deeper and ask the tough and dangerous questions. Today's episode is sponsored by Revell and Bethany House Publishers, which are divisions of Baker Publishing Group. Find out more at bakerpublishinggroup.com. Hello, everyone. This is Jamie Jo Wright here at Mad Lit Musings, and I'm excited today because I have with me Julie Clausen of Bethany House Publishers, the Regency Queen. Welcome.
Welcome. I thank you. I do have a tiara, but I did not wear it since.
That's okay.
Couldn't see it. But
I should have asked you to come in full Regency costume because I know you rock those.
I did, but sadly, someone has gained lots of weight over the last few years, so not currently.
That's what happens with tea time.
Too many tea times.
That's yes. Okay. All right.
We'll go with that. Too many scones.
Right. Yes. And I'm trying to think of what else they serve because I know nothing.
Oh, come, you know all the.
I'm thinking like lemon curd. That would be sure. One, right? They would serve lemon. There's one I'm trying to think of too that somebody just mentioned the other day, and I'm like, I've never had that. I'm trying to
like
think what
Devon
it was.
Cream.
Or that's something? What it was. It was okay. Devon Cream. I don't even know what that is.
It's like a super thick whipped cream, but not very sweet.
Oh,
almost like butter.
Ooh.
Like whipped butter.
That sounds delicious.
But with some jam? Ooh, that's very good.
Okay. Time for tea, everybody. Time for tea. Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, I'm excited to have you here. And this is the time that I need to come out and confess on the air that I am a closet Regency reader. Like, that's my go-to genre. I don't think people realize this about me, but
no, that is a surprise to those of us who get a little scared by your books.
I know.
Pretend at least to not like, you know, romance. And
I do. And honestly, it's weird. So here's the thing. And I haven't quite figured this out about myself. Okay. I really am not a huge romance reader, but there's something about Regency that is so completely removed from anything I write. But it's also so enticing. I'm not sure what it is. Because there's romance in your books, but it's not like ooing and gooing off the edges of the pages either. And then my daughter goes the other day, because I was reading your book, A Winter by the Sea, which is what we're here to talk about. She goes, Mom, what's the book about? And I'm like, I have no idea. And she goes, what do you mean? You're 3/4 of the way through. I'm like, it's about life by the sea with tea. Royalty.
Oh, where were you when I needed a tagline, Jamie?
She's like, but what's the plot? And I'm like, life. That's the plot. It's just life in a quiet town. And I like it.
Okay, you're not selling very many books for me here, Jamie.
No.
Life by the Sea.
Hey, that should sell a lot of books this day and age.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Life by the Sea with tea royalty. And royalty.
Yeah,
and sure. Yeah, it. I don't know. I think it sells because I think that's one of the reasons I gravitate toward it, because life is so chaotic and there's something so beautiful about the Regency simplicity, but I'm probably simplifying it too much.
Well, you know, you're making me think of a couple things. One, yes, okay. In this particular series, I'm hearing that a lot. Like, you know, life is hectic. I like this series because it is a slower pace. You've got, you know, the family drama. And yeah, there is romance and there's a little mystery and there's a little danger, but it is a very gentle story, happy endings, you know, that sort of thing. So I do get that I'm hearing that a lot for this series in particular. And, you know, like you, I was drawn to the Regency era, you know, long before I ever wrote it. Because, yeah, there is something about it. The romance is, in general, more, you know, sweet. And, you know, there's all these social kind of mores that keep it, you know, about chivalry and about ladylike behavior. So things don't get too, you know, hot and steamy and all of that. It's more sweet.
Right.
And love is bigger than just the physical attraction. Of course, that's there.
Right.
But, you know, the more research you do. I know now that it's not all romantic, and I no longer say I was born in the wrong time, because heaven forbid you should have to deal with those medical practices and lack of
Right?
hygiene and all of the rest of it. But
Right?
if you had money, it could be a romantic time, but
I was actually thinking about that when I was reading A Winter by the Sea, because you have a character in there who's of royal lineage who is suffering. And some of the treatments that that guy was enduring, I'm like, I suddenly am in love with modern medical health care.
exactly. We forget about some of that. I
Yes,
do love
yes.
that. And even though I'm writing fiction, I love that, basing things on historical fact
Yeah.
and practices, and of course taking leeways and noting those times where I veer
Right.
from history in the
Yeah.
author's note. But
Yeah.
I do enjoy the history in with all the romance
Yes.
and the
Yes.
rest of it.
Well, and I love this series, so I know I kind of made it sound slow, but I didn't mean to make it sound dull. Slow and dull are two entirely different things. And I like I'm real I've been enjoying this series, because this is the second, and the first one, I apologize, I forgot the title of the first one.
The Sisters of Seaview.
The Sisters of Seaview, that's right. And then this is A Winter by the Sea. And so you have a family of ladies, basically, with no
Yeah.
patriarch any longer. And this is a mother and the sisters that are running a boarding house now.
Correct.
And it's all about their different lives. And we have one sister who, that's kind of the mystery that's threading through all the stories, is what happened to Claire, the
Right. The sister
sister.
that we don't see, and we know she was sent off in disgrace. I think that's not a spoiler at this
Right.
point,
No, it's
but we're
not.
not sure ex everything that happened. I mean, it's becoming
Right.
more obvious, but
Yeah.
yeah, so not everything is not a bed of roses for this family who has fallen on hard times in more ways than one.
Right.
But yeah, I do like to have a little bit of mystery or question marks in there, not like a whodunit in this case, but
Right.
not like you, Jamie. But yeah, I do like to make people wonder a little bit,
Oh
keep them
yeah.
thinking.
Yeah. Well, the characters that keep getting introduced to us are so much fun too, because we have, I'm not going to remember the names, I'm horrible with names, but we have the character who lives with them, who has the parrot, which is no longer a live parrot, but a parrot. And I have to say, he's probably my favorite character.
That doesn't surprise me, Jamie.
It's so odd and strange. And then when I opened up A Winter by the Sea and saw that you'd continued with his character and even embellished on it, which I won't go into too much detail because I don't want readers to find out yet, but you kind of embellished on his own little parrot adventure. I was like, oh, I love him so
Isn't
much.
that fun as authors? We, get to, I don't know. Don't ask me where that character came from. I don't know, because, we have some
Okay.
quirky brains between us, I think,
Right,
as
right,
writers. I
right.
don't know where he came from. But yeah, I really started to like him, even though he is an odd duck.
Yeah.
Especially when he first comes, and you think that he thinks this thing is alive. But then I love that, where because that's how I am as a person. I'm the world's worst. If I get a first impression of somebody, it's probably wrong. And I know that about myself, so I try not to form those. But as humans, we want to do that. We want
Right.
to make those snap decisions.
Yeah.
That person's weird. That person's trouble. Whatever it is.
Yep.
And then I love to like reveal slowly why someone is what the way they are, and
Yeah.
see the heart behind the quirkiness. And I love to redeem or curmudgeon and all those kinds of things
Oh,
that I think,
exactly.
as believers, we like to see the redemption and
Right.
the good in people that's
Yeah.
there.
Yeah. Well, you have kind of a neat story. Again, I want to be careful I don't throw too many spoilers out there, but I think if people understand the array of the cast of this book, it makes you want to read the book in and of itself. Because you have a character who has his own little redemption story going on through the book, but I was like, what was this really a thing? Like, he literally was, his sole job was to take care of dishes and
The
set the
keeper of the
table.
plate, yeah, the
And I'm
royal
like, I
keeper
knew
of the
you well
plate.
enough to know this has got to be a real thing. Like, this can't be something, I mean, it has to be something from the Regency era, right?
And I do think it's, primarily in a royal household. I haven't
Okay.
come across keepers of the plate
Right.
in just,
Okay.
your average earl doesn't necessarily have one, from
I
what
was wondering. I'm like,
I
wow,
know.
I
I could be
want
wrong on that, but it was fun to look up the. You can history, there's so much, especially in the royal family. You can go back
Yeah.
and look to see who was on the Duke of Kent staff, and you get a whole list from what when they started, when they ended, who traveled with
Yeah.
him. So some of those details, about, traveling with, keeper of the plate, or, him having private secretaries with him, and all these other things are, they're part of the record. Now, obviously I fictionalize these
Right,
people.
right.
I'm not trying to write an actual, biography of any of those people, but
Right.
it was fun to start with some,
Yeah.
who was traveling with him besides the
Yeah.
obvious,
Yeah.
and who would be fun to send over to the guest house, which, when I learned that, that the Duke and Duchess of Kent and their
Okay.
daughter, the future Queen Victoria, I'd like to say I was smart enough that I had this whole series planned out, but I didn't. So it was during my research for my first book that I realized that they came to Sidmouth, the town where
Okay.
my series is set, the
Right.
same year that I had set the first book. I'm like, well, I have to include them.
Yeah.
And they rented the house that is down the same lane as my fictional house. So, there's a map at the beginning of
Wow.
the book,
Yeah.
so we could,
Yeah.
that's where they stayed. So I thought, and here I have this fictional guest house on the same lane. And sure enough, they arrived with too many people. They had this big entourage, so too
Okay.
many people to fit in the house they rented. So they did send some to lodge elsewhere. Now, not at my fictional Seaview, of course, but
Right,
it was
but
fun to pick a few to send to my house
yeah.
and have them stay with the sisters.
That's interesting because I was going to ask, I was debating on asking how much of that was actual historical fact that they had actually come to that area or how much was. So that's kind of cool. I'm like, wow, I didn't
Yeah,
realize
he
that
was
actually
deeply
happened.
in debt, so they said, you should leave London. It's too expensive to live here and go to the West
Wow.
Country. And
Yeah.
so some of his advisors, like
Okay.
John Conroy, who was a real person,
Okay.
watched Victoria, that miniseries. You might be familiar with him. He was not a nice guy, really. So it's fun
Yeah.
to write a not nice character,
Yeah.
because he did travel with them. And
Okay.
so, yeah, so having that, the fact that they really lived there. They were planning to spend the whole winter, but because of some of those kind of calamities that they didn't foresee, they
Right.
didn't stay as long as they planned to, but they were there. So it was
Wow, that's so cool. That's so cool.
fun to write that. And we even have some firsthand accounts from residents of Sidmouth who, saw them, or we know who made her first pair of shoes,
Oh,
Victoria's first pair of
wow.
shoes. And we have
Oh.
some people who went to an evening party who wrote about it. And
Okay.
because I've become acquainted with some of the people who work in the Sidmouth Museum, they've been able to provide me all kinds of, behind the scenes kind of accounts, and
Yeah.
so that's been really fun to have. So
That's cool.
yeah, most of that about the royal couple was true.
What's true? Okay. All right.
Yeah.
That's what I was kind of wondering. In fact, I was starting to get ready to actually do my own research, which I may still do because it's just fun to find these little nuggets of history that you hear about the royal family and you hear about the big things, right? But these are like the little side stories that don't
Right.
necessarily make it onto a general history book.
Yeah. I
Yeah,
found that
that's pretty
interesting
cool.
too, because of course we hear about the top dogs.
Right,
That's not a
right.
very good analogy, but you hear about the
No, I get
king,
it.
or you hear about Queen Victoria. But yeah, King George had four brothers or four sons, and so you don't
Right.
necessarily hear as much about, the ones that are further down the line. So yeah, it was kind of
Yeah.
fun to
Yeah, that's cool.
research. I learned a lot too.
That's
I'm
really
not a royal
interesting.
expert by any stretch. I don't usually write about
I
royalty,
was gonna
so
say,
this
you don't
was,
typically
no, this
go into
was
the royal. Okay.
different for
Right.
me.
It's one of those things where history was like, here, let me hand it to you on a royal platter and include
Exactly.
it in your
Royal
book.
platter, that's a good one. I just have to say, I just had my official book launch party last week, and I made everybody wear crowns,
Oh,
and they're
good.
all kind of like, oh, what's this about, Julie? And they were good sports, but yeah, because I have never written about royalty before, and I
Yeah.
probably never will again. So I wanted
Yeah.
to mark the occasion, and it was like a party, so it was fun.
Yes.
It was fun to do anyway, but
That's good. That's good.
our brush
I
with
did
royal
like the
family.
romantic theme through the book. In fact, you kind of threw in some, I don't know if you intended this. Maybe it's my sadistic brain, but I felt like there were some red herrings for romance possibilities because there was the obvious. There was kind of a past love and then a potential new love. But then even when the book was starting, I'm kind of like, oh, but she could end up with him or maybe but and so I don't know if you do that on purpose or if I'm just
Well, I
like
mean, I'm not sure which one you're
nosy.
thinking. If you're thinking of Emily, who's kind of the main character
Yes.
of this story, she kind of
Yes.
has her couple different options. But then I did kind of have a, Sarah has her own
Right.
subplot with a someone you may have thought, might have
Right.
been a romantic possibility, which was
Yeah.
that was a fun subplot to write, just because it was, that was the chef that stayed in the house, and that
Yeah,
was
that one,
fun
I
to
was
write.
a part of me was kind of like, oh, I kind of like him. And then I was like, oh, maybe it won't turn out. Oh, I don't know. So I was kind of going back and forth with that one. But with Emily, I was kind of like, she has, there's two bookish men in her world that are kind of vying.
Oh
And
yeah,
those were
that's
the other
right.
two that I was like,
The
she
publishers as
could, the
well, yeah.
publishers, right? And I was like, they could end up coming out, especially since you have the one like shirtless coming out of the water or something. I can't, like with a towel wrap. That had to have been extremely scandalous back then. I was reading it, I'm like, Julie,
I watched
banning.
Sanditon, yeah, too many times or something. That
Banning my face. Oh.
well, those Brits, they well, they still they sea bathe year round, and
Do they
they
really?
still do that, and because it was not to the degree they did then, but it was such
Right.
a was known to be so good for you health wise back then.
Oh.
Doctors wrote about it. People, went in the water year round. They drank seawater. So yeah,
Ugh.
there were a lot more people in the water then at these seaside resorts than there are now.
That's
Oh
great.
yeah, and you're talking about a character, yeah, the rival publisher, and
Yes.
he's a real character from history too.
Oh, is he really?
Yes, this Sidmouth is not that big of a town, but there were two publishers who both owned circulating libraries
Interesting.
in this town. And so when I actually read a little bit about this rivalry, and since Emily, who's kind of the main character of this, and
Right.
she's a huge, reader,
Right.
wants to be a writer, aspiring writer. So that was for me really fun to be able to work in a, and it's a small, probably a fairly small part of the story, but the subplot of the rivalry that she kind of gets involved with.
Yeah.
In fact, just before we started our call, I addressed a mailing envelope to a woman who I'm sending the book to, and she's a descendant of the rival publisher. And so I'm kind of wondering what she's going to think about my portrayal of her. Great, 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 whatever.
My
Because see, I ended up liking him, but he's definitely kind of a flamboyant,
Oh, yeah.
character, a little bit. You're
Yeah.
not quite sure how to take him at first. And I think by
Right.
the end, people come to care for him a little bit. I don't know, but
Yeah, I did. I
so we'll
did.
see what his descendant thinks here
That'll be interesting.
when she
Is
gets
yeah,
the
that'll be interesting.
book.
I love that. I love that. And that's the thing with your fiction too, that's fun, is because there's so much history wrapped up in it. As a reader, you get lost in what's fact and what's fiction. And then you force us to go look and figure it out. Like, we have to actually read history now. That's
Well, you don't
smart.
have to. I'll give you a pass.
Oh, okay.
But and it is interesting because that's, like you said, the gift on the royal platter, because that's,
Yeah.
I don't normally, my books are not normally that tied into that many specific events and historical
Yeah.
characters. And in fact, I have a rough draft for book three, and it's far lighter on the actual historical events, just
Okay.
because, the royals were gone and other things in that time period, that there weren't any big,
Yeah.
big events, and
Yeah.
I've got other characters to develop. So it's gonna be a different read, but hopefully still
Okay.
satisfying.
Yes. Can I ask what sister is going to be kind of highlighted in the next one?
You may. So you already mentioned her name,
Okay.
Claire.
It is
So
Claire still.
Claire, who's
Okay.
been basically off the page, but we've heard about the sisters wondering about her and missing her. Claire comes back to town. So it's called the Seaside Homecoming.
Oh,
So
okay.
that's book three. And I mean, I have a rough draft and many, as you know, many rounds of
Oh, right.
corrections and edits and additions and all of that to come, but at least I have the rough draft done, which is always a relief.
Yes.
We pass that blank page
Right.
part of
You
the
actually have
process.
words to work with now
Words. I
and
have
care.
words, lots of
Yes.
words, probably too many words.
That's okay. That's okay. I was looking at your book when it came out and how thick it was, and I'm like, oh, I think they keep getting thicker, and I'm really glad about that.
Oh, some people love a thick book,
I
thankfully,
do.
because yeah.
Yeah.
Right
Yeah.
now, this next one's a little bit on the short side for me, but I know my editors, they're always, to their credit, they're always suggesting, oh, we want more about this character. We develop this, relationship a little more. Can we have some more with, we really like this minor character. Can you do more with that? We need more romance build up before, this.
Yeah,
So they're always
right.
asking, occasionally they'll ask me to trim something and make something
Okay.
faster,
Yeah.
especially the beginnings often. but off the most mostly I add end up adding 10, 12,000
Okay.
words in the
In the
revision
revisions. Yeah, that's
rewrite
great.
period. So
That's great. So, people who love Regency are definitely going to love this book, but they can also get the first book too. And I always ask authors this, but I actually know the answer to this one because I usually ask, can you read them separately or do you have to read them in order? And I would, as a reader, say you have to read these in order.
I would have said that as well, though. It's been interesting, you know, as authors, you know, our publish we have the same publisher, and they often
Right.
hire, you know, someone to do a blog tour or a book tour or an Instagram tour. And so there were all these people reading who were given book two to promote on Instagram. And so many of them said in their reviews, "Oh, I love the book. I didn't even realize it was part of the series until I got to the last page and saw the promotion for the next."
Oh
And they thought it read just fine. I'm like,
no. Okay.
it is interesting. I'm glad, but yes, I sure
Yeah.
do think it
Yeah.
would be best to read them
Yeah.
in order. But
Yeah, I guess I could see how you could read it out of order because you write the characters strong enough where you don't have to know what happened in book one.
I hope so. But I also don't like myself, this is my own personal thing. I don't like when you start a book and it's a lot of rehash. You know, you have to do a little bit of
Right.
reminding just for the
Yeah.
readers who've even read it, a
Right.
little bit of reminder of who's who and what's gone before. But I thought I was fairly light on some of that,
Yeah.
explaining the past, hoping it would become clear in context or that, you know, readers would remember. And so I don't feel like I went back and did a lot of rehash. So I'm impressed that readers could follow it as well as they apparently did, even if they
Yeah,
hadn't
that's
read
great.
book one. So.
That's great. Well, A Winter by the Sea is available now. So anybody listening to this podcast better go get it and get the first one too. Because why not? Two books to read right over Christmas? I say yes. Do it.
Well, of course, I like that idea
Right.
as well, Jamie.
Yes. Oh man. So if readers want to find out more about you and your books, if they don't already know, since you are sort of, you know, the queen of the inspirational Regency, can you tell I'm fangirling a little bit? I'm just over here going, I'm gonna make a fool of myself. I'm making a fool of
Jamie,
myself.
you
Anyway.
should know I'm just, I am just, I have to, I get a little, when, you know, when people, especially most people don't care, aren't that impressed with me. But if you're a reader, you know, you might occasionally, as an author, you run across somebody who's
Yeah.
impressed. And it's like, I am a mom. I am a wife. I am a procrastinator. My house is a wreck. I am just so human that
Yeah.
it makes me feel a little weird when,
I know. That's why I'm trying not to make a big deal about it, but
but yeah.
you
So
know,
don't be
when you
impressed
meet,
with me, is what I'm saying.
well, okay. Well, I'll be impressed with your books. How's that?
Yes. And you
Okay.
know, this is my lifelong dream come true.
Yeah.
And I'm just really grateful. You know,
Yeah.
everything in my life is not perfect by any stretch, but
Right.
this is a dream that God has allowed to come true. And I'm super thankful I get to keep doing it. Hopefully my brains will continue to work for
Yes,
years to
please.
come.
Please, Lord, give her lots of brains. Lots of
Yes,
brains would be
all the brains.
great. Yeah. Well, that's the other thing with your books that I really enjoy too with the Regency is the quiet faith, because it was prior to like that overtly evangelical dispensationalist movement of the 1800s and such, when D.L. Moody started getting up and a tent revival started. So it feels like I think back in those days, like faith was just integrated into life. It was very organic, but very real.
Right. And I know what I and you know, I'm sure you know this too, as an author, it's always such a balance. You want to glorify God and have
Right.
there be, you know, sincere hope and sincere faith. But yeah, not in a way that's super preachy or doesn't feel right to the time period. And you know, I'm sure you're aware Jane Austen herself was a very strong Christian, but there's very little of that in her books.
Right.
But she wrote some beautiful prayers. We know she was a very, you know, very strong believer. But yeah, it wasn't something she spent a lot of time writing about, because I think it was so much more common for people in general to go to church and have family prayers
Right.
and have the vicar to dine. And
Right.
so I don't think that she felt the need to talk about it. It was more of a
Yeah.
private part of life.
Course, now if you say that, I'm tempted to send my pastor an email that says, we would like to invite the vicar to dine with us on Friday evening.
I'm sure he would love it.
He'd be like, Jamie, what's going on? Are you okay?
Unless you make excellent boiled potatoes and I don't know, whatever
These
else.
potatoes are just
Mr. Collins.
lovely, lovely potatoes. Yes, Mr.
Liked
Collins.
when he came over for dinner. So
Yes, I love it. Well, Julie, thank you so much for being here. Readers can find you at julieclausen.com
or Facebook.
or
I know you're
Facebook.
on Inspirational Regency Readers occasionally, but
Yes.
that Facebook group where I hang out with Erica Vetch and Michelle Greep, two other writers who love England. And I spend a lot of time there. So if you really
Yeah.
want to find me, or
That's the
Erica
place to
or
go.
Michelle,
You're right.
come and find us
Yes.
on Facebook.
It's a great one. I like that one. In fact, Erica or somebody posted today this picture of the snowy English cottage. And I have to complain because I got distracted from my own writing because I was staring at it. And then my brain started going through the different rooms in the house. Like it just instantly started imagining what they
Okay.
looked like. And it was very wrong of you guys to be so distracting. Just staying.
Well, hey, you live in the snowy north. I'm sure you have your own
Well, yeah,
cozy
but it's not a
place.
stone cottage
That's
in
true.
England.
That's true. Yeah, I'm the same way. I do think there's, well, England's one of my favorite places on earth,
Yeah, it's
besides
beautiful.
our own country, of course. So I love it too.
Good. All right. Well, I will let you get back because you have another book to write because I'm putting you on deadline because we need this next book. So
All
good
right,
luck.
I'm
All
at it.
right. Thank you so
All
much,
right, thanks.
Julie.
Good to talk to you, Jamie. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Mad Lit Musings. You can find out more information about Mad Lit and all that it has to offer at madlitmentoring.com. That's madlitmentoring.com. Or check out more about Jamie Jo Wright at jamiewrightbooks.com.